today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, today we want to kind of usher in and begin a new series on the attributes of God. And as you said, it's a very audacious task and thing to try to attempt.
Right. In some ways, just before we came on, we said, how presumptuous. But yet, these are things we ought to talk about.
Right. And I think to kind of simplify, and you never really can simplify the person of God, because he is complex.
One lady in a movie we watched said, make him get edible.
Right. But to kind of understand where we're going with this, the idea is to talk about what is God like?
Yes.
Who is God?
Yeah.
And today we want to introduce that idea. It's not like we're going to even begin to scratch the surface,
right.
As our pastor says so often. We're going to do a flyover.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Well, it would definitely be a quick flyover.
So
compared to the subject we're talking about.
We want to introduce what is God like for us to know and have a clear understanding of Him or anything.
Yes.
We must know God.
Yeah,
the Scripture reveal God to us, and it's there that we must seek Him.
Yeah, I think a verse that's kind of in the past few years has slapped me in the face. I've read it for years. I read through Proverbs every month for years of my life, and I've read this verse over and over. But when Solomon says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and then, and this is synonymous parallelism, so it's a similar statement, and the knowledge of the Holy One, God, is understanding.
Right.
I've said to people, I've said to my sons, I've said on the phone, when you discuss things with people, the real issue is not this issue. The real issue is God.
Right. So it is. And I think it's very pertinent and very applicable to our current culture and our Christian culture.
Right.
And where evangelicalism is today. Because I think the reason we're going wrong and the reason there is, quote, liberalism in the church is because basically we've forgotten to know who God is. We are not informed by a proper understanding of God.
There was a book written back years ago, like 60s, early 70s, and the title of it, the fellow's name was Phillips. And while I might not agree with everything he wrote, the title of his book, and I have the little book somewhere, in a box somewhere, but I read it, and the title of the book is, Your God is Too Small. I think we could take that and just go and say people need to see a big God.
No, absolutely. So two things we want to do to kind of introduce this. Concept in this idea, and that is the misconceptions of God, the things that we come up with that are incorrect, and then also we want to kind of just fly over the image of God and who He is and what that means and
the
how He relates
God
to
man,
us.
And yes, humans. Yes,
absolutely. So first of all, the misconceptions.
Yeah, it's the misconceptions of God are numerous. Perhaps we could just sort of consolidate this idea in a couple of things. First, people use terminology about God. One of the most familiar ones is the man upstairs.
Right.
I sort of shiver when I hear that. And I know people often don't mean anything harmful or diminutive about that. But the truth is, what we say, our words mean things. And we need to be careful how we refer to God. So just the way we refer to God can be a clue to how we think about God. Another misconception, though, and this is a pronounced one in the church, is the misconception that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are somehow different. And you do see this in unbelievers who question God and question the existence of God,
right,
or the reality of the God as we see
it. Well, I think sometimes we say it as believers and we don't even realize it or communicate it in such a way that somehow, well, you know, the God of the New Testament is so much more full of grace than the God of the Old Testament. You know, and I think we almost feel it and think it without even realizing it sometimes.
And people tend to think that the God of the Old Testament is mean, he's wrathful, he's capricious, like he's not patient, he just flies off the handle and kills all kinds of people. And then the New Testament, we see a God who's loving and merciful and patient and kind. But that is not at all true. The same God is the God of the Old and New Testament, the Old and New Covenant. David said, but you, Lord, are good. This is the Old Testament. And ready to forgive. And plenteous and merciful unto all who call upon you. That one psalm that has that repetitious line again and again, for his mercy, his steadfast love endures forever. And again in the Old Testament, we see the love and mercy of God. Hmm. But then in the New Testament, we see Romans 1, where in which Paul says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men.
So much for that idea that...
Who suppress the truth of their unrighteousness.
Right, so much for that idea that the God is... The wrath is just the God of the Old Testament.
Yeah, just read the rest of chapter 1 of Romans, and then go to Revelation. So that is not the biblical God. That's two different gods.
Which is the same God who said, for God so loved the world.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Or the same gospel that communicates that God so loved the world.
Exactly. So, and we'll talk more about that in future dates, but... Now, there's another misconception. That is that God is somehow like us. You know, the Greeks created gods that they were very comfortable with.
Right.
And if you read Greek mythology, you find gods that had the same sort of... They were immoral, unfaithful, they were impatient, they were unkind, they were selfish. So you see, they made gods like themselves. I remember one time a dear friend of mine, we were talking about the issue of abortion. He said, and this was long before abortion became the issue it is now, but right. it was right after the decision, not long after the decision on abortion by the Supreme Court. But he said, anybody who believes in abortion has a weak local God. You see, that's what you see in tribes and groups of people around the world. They have a weak local God. Mm-hmm. In other words, their God just is God over them
right.
and over their place.
Right.
This is not the kind of God we have. In fact, Psalm 50, verse 21, God said, you thought that I was altogether just like you. And he goes, but, and explains how he isn't. So
I guess what we'll have to do is we need to check our man-made concepts of God somehow.
Yeah,
we need to put them aside.
That's exactly right.
And we need to get rid of that idea, and we need to have this idea and this concept of who God is, and that he's not just like us.
And as we're seeking the Lord, ask the Lord to help us to see him for who he is and what he is and what he's like.
Right.
That's going to go so far in helping us to grow spiritually.
So would you say that the big problem today, and probably always has been, is that we have created a God in our own image?
In many cases, that is so. And when that is the case, you not only don't understand God, and then you can't understand the gospel and his truth at all. We have to understand God. That's the front door issue.
So really, any of the stories we read in the Old Testament, any things that we hear in the New Testament of where people rejected God, they created a God in their own image and tried to do it their own way.
Right. Yes. And even in some Christian circles.
Right.
Yes.
A lot of Christian circles, yes. Actually. So we're talking about this idea of misconceptions, that he's not like us, that the God of the Old Testament somehow is not like the God of the New Testament, or vice versa. So we're dealing with that. But let's delve a little more into the image of God and the image of man and that whole relationship.
Right. The Reformers refer to this concept of the Imago Dei, the image of God in man and humans, if I try not to be sexist here.
Right.
But because it's in men and women. But there are reasons why we see a difference between man as creation of God and, say, animals.
Right.
Man is created in the image of God, as it says in Genesis chapter, in the early chapters of Genesis. So, and just to pick up on that, I mean, first of all, man is rational. By right. that I don't mean we act rationally all the time, but man can reason, he can think. He's a rational being. God invites the sinner.
Well, and the only thing that
reason.
Really messes that up is the depravity of man.
That's right.
Which we believe in.
And,
right.
and we're going to close with that in a moment. But yes, the fall has marred these things. But the Lord says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. Think about these things. Reason with me about your sin.
So he's really a call to us to do that.
It is.
Right.
And then there's this whole idea of spirituality. We're spiritual beings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, for what man knows the things of man, except the spirit of man that's in him, or what man knows the things of God, except the spirit of God that's in him. We are spiritual by nature. That God has made us spiritual beings. Animals are not spiritual. We
right.
see no evidence of that in Scripture.
Right.
And of course, we're taking a scriptural view of this. So, there's the idea that man is creative. Now, we're not creative in the sense that God is. God created everything out of nothing. But we are creative with the materials God has given, the resources God has given. We make things. Men are almost by nature, well, they are by nature creative.
You know, and as you're starting to talk about this, I'm kind of starting to see a pattern here that leads us to a true reality of purpose and understanding of why humans have value, why humanity has value. Why is it that people mourn of a loss of something that is human?
Right.
Now, not that we don't mourn the loss of something like a dog or something like that, but that heartfelt pain, that loss that we feel, whether in war or in just natural causes of life, or anything for that matter, there is this pain, and there's value in humanity because we're made in the image of God.
And that's why we can talk about the sanctity of human life.
Right.
That's why there is sanctity to life. And then we're immortal. Humans are immortal. Now, of course, there are unbelievers who don't believe that, and there are unbelievers who do believe that. But we're immortal, and we're not infinite. God is infinite.
Right.
He has never not been, nor shall he ever not be. It's not very good grammar, but we have a beginning, but we do not have an end. We have what the Reformers like to call a never-dying soul. Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, the body will return to the dust, and the spirit to the God who gave it. And so there's this similar, our listeners and the people they work with, their family members, will spend eternity somewhere. They have a never-dying soul. And then there's this whole matter of God, just God consciousness. It's related to being spiritual. But man is aware of, if he doesn't know the true God, he'll make one up.
Right. There is a God-shaped vacuum in everyone's heart.
Yes, I think that's true. Eternity, as Ecclesiastes says, is in their hearts. He's put eternity in their hearts.
Right.
And in that, God consciousness, God has given man dominion to rule the earth. We rule over the animals. Now, if there are enough of them, we don't have a way to defend ourselves. They can rule over us.
Right.
But we have the intelligence to avoid those situations.
Which really takes us back to the whole issue of creation. And Adam and Eve and the communion they had with God and that was broken at that fall.
And we see that alluded to in Genesis 3 when God is looking for Adam and Eve after they fell, after they sinned. And he's walking through the garden in the cool of the day, calling. And they hear his voice. And they now run because of their sin. Another issue. But so there's communion with God. And finally, we're relational.
Mm.
We're relational beings. We're social beings. God is relational. He has a relationship with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He speaks, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. There's fellowship in the Godhead.
Which we see that played out throughout culture and society, whether marriage or a father and his children.
Right.
Or grandparents and their grandchildren.
Or even just friendships.
Or friendships, or the body of Christ, which is the ultimate relational experience here on earth, other than our relationship with Christ.
And other than our marriage.
And our marriage,
But yes, so all of these things. Now, you mentioned it earlier, and as we come to a close here, we just ought to mention, the fall has marred all of this. We don't perfectly portray the image of God. But redemption restores that image, and is constant, the redeemed person is constantly growing in the image of God until in eternity we will have that image of God restored completely when we are with the Lord Jesus.
So this is really something, as we just give this overview and talk about these misconceptions and these ideas, is that this is really something that should inform our worldview and how we view the world and how we operate and work within it.
It absolutely makes every difference in how we think.
Mm.
About anything.
Right.
And that's why it's important.
It matters.
It does matter.
You know, because I so often I think the easiest thing to do is just to say, well, it doesn't matter. You know, well, we're talking basically about the same thing. I hear these phrases over and over again. I'm like, no, words have meaning, and those words have consequences, or those meaning have consequences, because they therefore play out into everyday life.
We live
and
by what we think.
So what we understand about God is will direct and dictate how we live for God.
Because the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding.
Amen. Amen. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have today, but we will continue this next week. So thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also visit on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.